Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. And you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka. And now, here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka.
We got a special guest today. I'm our brother, big dog, coach of the year, Hovain Hilton. What up?
What's up, y'all? What's going on, man?
Chilling, man. Thanks for being on the show. Hovain Hilton is the president of Cinematic Management. He's a father. He's a husband. He's currently teaching a music class at Kingsborough Community College. And if you check out the latest edition of Billboard magazine, there's a profile written about my man.
And now it's time for the one or the two with Jay Skills.
Big year, Jay-Z.
Oh. Fuck. Let's go, Biggie, man.
Nets or Knicks?
Nets.
Jets or Giants?
Giants.
Smart Water or Essentia?
Essentia.
Fear of God or Supreme?
Fear of God.
Off-White or Louis?
Louis.
Brunch or dinner?
Dinner. Good dinner.
Mayweather or Tyson?
Tyson.
De La Hoya or Mosley?
Sugar Shane.
Tackstone or Combat Jack?
Combat Jack.
Funk Flex or DJ Clue?
Funk Flex.
Jada Kiss or Cam'ron?
Kiss.
Diddy or Dr. Dre?
Diddy.
Griselda or Migos?
Griselda.
Future or Young Thug?
I want to say Thug, but Future just got so many. It's tough. That's the only one that I can't really pick. I can't really pick, man. I can't really pick.
Yeah. I'll let you slide on that one. Steve Stout or Sylvia Rome?
Steve.
The 90s or the 2000s?
2000s.
White wine or red wine?
White.
Mastro's or Ruth Chris?
Both of them is kind of weak, but I go Mastro's. Both of them kind of weak.
Soho House or Soho in New York?
Soho in New York.
Jordan 3 or Jordan 4?
Threes.
Smoking or drinking?
Drinking.
Impossible meat or Beyond meat?
Beyond.
Popeye's chicken sandwich or Saweetie's McDonald's meal?
Popeye's chicken sandwich, I guess.
Dang, you ain't gang, dog. You ain't gang.
No, I didn't have the Sweetie's meal. I don't even know what it is.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool, man. Hey, but if y'all listening, go cop that Saweetie meal.
What is it? Is a Big Mac and McNuggets?
So it's, first of all, shouts to the Big Mac mama, Saweetie. She got the Big Mac. She got four nuggets. She got French fries with her own Saweetie and sour sauce with the barbecue. Sweet. Tangy.
You know what? I'm gonna go there then. Cause I'm for sure. I'm not a Big Mac guy at all. I probably had like three Big Macs my whole life, but I mess with the nuggets and
the thing is you can share it. You know what I'm saying? She got shareable pieces, but if you feel an experimental like Saweetie, like I've tried the Saweetie style, it almost took me out. You feel me? I took the top bun off. I put two nuggets, put the sweet and sour sauce right there, put it back on, took the next patty off, put four fries and two more nuggets. And I put the barbecue sauce. That's how she goes. She go crazy. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to that young lady. And she gang for life now.
I'm gonna roll with Saweetie, man. I'm gonna go with Saweetie.
Hot Cheetos or Lucas chili powder?
Neither. I don't fuck with that little shit.
Nachos or buffalo wings?
Buffalo wings.
The marathon or victory lap?
Oh man, damn, that's fucking tough. Marathon.
It was written or late registration?
It was written.
Low Wind Theory or Midnight Marauders?
Midnight Marauders.
Kendrick or Drake?
Kendrick.
SOBs or House of Blues?
SOBs, just because I've been part of so many legendary moments at SOBs. I've been in a House of Blues in a couple cities, but I've been a part of some shit at SOBs.
Def Jam or Interscope?
Interscope.
Rap albums now or rap albums 5 years ago?
Rap album now.
Anita Baker or Sade?
Anita Baker.
Kobe or LeBron?
Kobe.
Brady or Rodgers?
Brady every time.
Pandemic or bandemic?
Bandemic.
Traveling in the U.S. or traveling abroad?
Abroad.
Grime or drill?
Neither.
Rock Marcy or Lupe Fiasco?
Lupe.
Art or fashion?
Oh, fashion is a form of art.
It is indeed. Watching the playoffs or hearing a new album?
You're watching the playoffs live or on TV?
Live.
Live. Nothing beats it.
Yeah. Fresh, the movie, or South Central?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Fuck, I love Fresh. South Central is classic. Let me go Fresh. Let me. I'll first of all, mine. Fresh is an underrated classic. I don't think a lot of people.
I just watched Fresh for the first time the other day, and I was like, love "Damn, it. I'm mad. I've never seen it." Yeah, I was like,
"Yeah,
damn, this is
like, yeah. That's one of the movies." Like,
what? Really?
Yeah, bro. For all the movie watching out there,
I was gonna say, like, bro, Hovan, you don't know the story, bro. But I used to reach out to Jason, bro, to ask this man what movies to watch. Yeah, he sees everything, bro. But he also, you know, he makes docs and movies and all this other stuff. So he has a unique eye and how to watch them. But I'm surprised you ain't never seen that. That's crazy.
Bro, it's crazy. Like all of my film school and bootlegging and all that shit, like I never seen Fresh. I guess it wasn't on TV when I was younger. And I heard about it, but I just never seen it. And then I watched it the other day and I was like, damn, this shit hard.
That was kind of like a staple New York movie like that. I think that came out a little bit after Clockers or around the same time. You seen Clockers?
Yeah. Yep. That was going to be my next question. Yep. Clockers or New Jersey Drive?
Clockers. New Jersey Drive was trash. The soundtrack was fire, though.
Yeah, soundtrack was hard. Yeah. Juice or Menace to Society?
Oh, God. Damn. Juice. Damn.
Paid in Full or Goodfellas?
Goodfellas.
A Red Eye or a Midday Flight?
Midday.
3 p.m. or 3 a.m.?
3 a.m.
And the last one, The Streets or The Culture?
The Streets.
That's the one of the two.
That was good. Man, that was dope. I fuck with that.
The streets.
We would have had a culture if it wasn't for the streets.
It wasn't for the streets, man. And speaking amen. Of the streets.
Amen. You answered correct.
You know, speaking of the streets, let's take it back to the streets. Hov, what is your connection to sneakers? Young Hov's connection to sneakers. Who put you on the sneakers?
See, I had an older brother, right? My older brother really was in the sneaker game. He really loved sneakers. But then my oldest sister, my oldest sibling, actually worked in the sneaker store when I was a child. So it was kind of like every 2 weeks she got paid, I'm getting a pair of sneakers. And then my older brother was coming through with all type of Jordans. So it was like between the two of them, my older brother and my older sister, it was like ever since like probably I want to say daycare, I've been like, you know, they kept me fresh.
So when you got a chance to buy your first shoe with your own money, what was it?
Oh, I know. Dan O'Brien, 97 Air Maxes. I was working summer youth. I was probably 14 or whatever, maybe 15. Maybe 15 the most.
So the Silver Bullets?
Silver Bullets. I think my check great was, shoe. My check was like 220. Them sneakers was like 180. I was like, damn, am I going to spend my whole check? I remember calling my mom. I was like, I want these sneakers. They $200. My check only $220. She was like, get them. I'll give you money for the week, whatever. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. I still got those in there. I need to restore the white part. I wish, like, if I was to get a chance to redo those shoes, I would change the bottom. I don't know what color.
You know what? I just rebought those. They did a Puerto Rico edition.
And I see the Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I just grabbed those too, just because for nostalgia.
Yeah. Nah, shouts to P. Rico.
Yeah. And I remember when the Puerto Rico Forces came out.
Crazy.
That was a big hard. Time, man.
With the frog on them.
The Air Force 1 2007. Mm-hmm. So many flavors that came out. I know people are going crazy about Dunks, and I'm kind of glad that Air Force 1s are resurging, right? People are starting to buy more.
People are hype, man. I want the sneaker culture to return to what it is. But in order to do that, we got to do away with Instagram and social media. Just wear what you want. Buy what you want. Because I remember I'm from New York, though. So we were wearing Forces all the time. So Flavor Forces, whatever, limited edition, Rasheed, like Forces was a thing. It never went out of style for us. And then people started wearing high top Dunks. And it was like, oh, Dunks kind of a little funky. Kind of look like high Air Forces. So it was like, all right, we're going to get into those. But people nowadays, they don't wear what they like. They just wear what is popular.
I'm going to be honest, Hov. Trends ain't trends. You're supposed to like what you like. Yeah. When you change what you like, you're a sheep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because you're going to throw away so much stuff and then stuff just comes and circles back. It's the Ferris wheel effect. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I just like free thinkers, man. Wear what you like.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. That's a fact for real. I mean, I'm at the point now where I got so many sneakers that I'm kind of rotating about 3 or 4 pair that I really like the most.
Man, having so many sneakers that I didn't get a chance to wear, I forget about. Then you get in a rotation or just wearing what's by your door. Then I got a crib in Atlanta now, and I got a crib in New York. So it's like, oh, damn, I left these in Atlanta. Oh, man, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'd be a lot.
So what's the latest shoe that you picked up?
Shit. While we was setting up, I just grabbed a pair of Joe Fresh Good New Balances.
Cozy boys. Yeah, definitely.
I just grabbed those today. And before that, I was able to secure a pair of Travis Scott Fragment Ones.
See, now look, you out our tax bracket right now.
No, I'm going to keep it real with you, man. I have a lot of relationships and friends. I have one of my closest friends works for Cactus Jack. So, you know.
Can I say the name?
Nah. You.
Shouts to the homie, though.
I don't need you to say the name. I just want the plug.
Shouts to the homie, though.
Shout out to Travis. Shout out to the whole Cactus Jack.
Shouts to the homie, though. That's love.
Let's say I'm part of the Friends and Family program at Cactus Jack.
It must be nice, man, to be FNF.
Friends and places.
What is young Hovain's connection to basketball?
Like I grew up in a project. So like, that's something that everybody did. It was a park directly in front of my building. So you come on my building and there's a park directly in front of the building, handball court, like little gym, like playground area. Then it was mad basketball court. So niggas were at a basketball court, fooling around, playing 21, playing Utah, playing taps, just basketball was just part of what we do.
So you mentioned Utah. What is Utah? Because this, we don't play Utah in LA, so I'm interested.
Hey, I was just about to ask that same thing, bro.
It has to be a regional thing that we change the name on. What is Utah?
Yeah, Utah is like, some people call it 21, but Utah, you score by 5. It could be like everybody for themselves. It could be like 5 or 6 players.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you got the ball, you got to score. You know what I'm saying? You score, you get a free throw after. You hit the free throw, that's 5 points. You know what I'm saying?
So game might be
100.
So the game's up to 100?
Game might be 100. Game might be 100 or game might be 50. Somebody say, yo, game 50, and we're going by 5s.
That's so interesting. Wait,
so when you score the basket, what is that, 1 point, 2 points?
5.
So the basket
is 5. Each bucket is 5.
And the free throw is 5, too?
Free throw is 5, yeah.
Oh, wow. So do you have it like how we have in 21, like if you get close to the limit, and you miss or somebody else scores, you go back like you lose points?
Nah. They can play 21 like that, though. So you play 21 and Utah, yeah.
That's crazy. So who came up with the name Utah, though, out of everything?
That was before me. I don't know.
That's crazy. Like, yo, we're going to call it Utah. Something very Bama, something very – Utah, not even country, but I'm going to call it country because it's not New York City.
I don't know.
That's an interesting name.
That was so – bestowed on me. Niggas like, yo, we play Utah. Right.
21 in LA, there's no rules of how many people can play.
Yeah, just whatever.
And then you're at 20, you miss, you go back down to 15.
15?
Only go back down to 15. You also
got a one on a 3-pointer or something.
You also can shoot all day or three, make three, and then check up.
Mm, okay. Right.
On the free throw line. So yeah, on Utah, is it just one free throw?
No, if you it's kind of like 21. I think you hit 3 in a row, then they check you the ball, then they start playing defense on you.
Okay. Right. Do you have to validate your win?
What you mean?
So if you got 100 or 50, do you have to make that free throw at the end after you score it?
Top of the key. There's never 3-pointer. Top of the key. Yeah.
All right. We close here. Yeah.
What about when you miss? Do you have to guard the rebounder?
Whoever got the ball. That's what I'm saying.
But usually the person who guards is the person who bricked the shot.
So when you get the rebound, you got to go to the free throw line, clear it. You know what I'm saying? You can't just like get the rebound, go back up. You got to go to the free throw line, clear it. Then everybody start playing D.
Yeah, 21 is a thirsty ass game, bro.
Like, listen, man, battle rule. Only called walk, diss, and carry.
You know what's crazy about 21? A nigga could have 16. and you walk on the court like, hey, who got high? Niggas say 16. Yo, like you feel like you could catch him.
Like when young is nothing you can't do. It's nothing. The logic doesn't apply to you. Physics doesn't apply to you. Tiredness doesn't apply. When you're young, there's nothing you can't do.
Bro, 21 is easily one of the thirstiest games of all time. I remember niggas was so bored. Niggas created 21 putback.
What, like taps?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we call it. We call it taps.
Bro, it was getting to a point where we just make it up anything, bro. And I remember playing in the backcourt to high school, right? My freshman year, because I wasn't on VAR yet. So I was still doing just anything. I'm out there hooping, sweaty, musty, going into my next class. And I'm hooping, bro. It's like 20 niggas on the court, bro. So it's no paint action. You ain't get no paint. You got to shoot that jumper.
I was about to say, that's how you develop that jump shot.
Hey, and that shit crazy because you got one nigga that's talking as soon as he get the ball. And they like, you better go out there and get him. He got game point. Nah, hey, everybody. And don't let him win. So now they following you because they know you're not about to call a foul. And it just gets super thirsty, dog. You end up banging a knee or a knee to the thigh. And you got to go to class with an ice pack. You might even have an ice pack. You just hurt.
And tomorrow for no reason. Say it again.
Man, so you mentioned playing in front of your hood. Which park did you play at?
Van Dyke Center Park. Well, Van Dyke Park.
Okay. Anybody come out of there?
Nobody.
You came out of there.
I mean, that, not no basketball shit. Like,
nah, but you came out of that situation.
It was some people from my area like made it to like college. Never nobody to like the NBA. I remember my man who lived in my building, Javon Moore. He played for Canisius State.
Okay.
He was in that movie, Soul in the Hole. He was decent. He was a real good point guard, Javon Moore.
Okay. Soul in the Hole, I remember that. That's a sick, sick little movie.
Yeah, it wasn't so many people that never really, like, my area of Brooklyn is really not famous for too much. The only people that ever came out of Brownsville is Mike Tyson, M.O.P., and Sean Price. You know what I'm saying?
R.I.P. Sean Price. Yeah. Thinking about basketball, who would you say your game was like back in?
I was young Khalil Elamine, baby. Short, undersized, fat point guard.
Out there. I feel like all New York players all had handle.
That's like the first thing you learn before any type of basics, shooting, any type of pick and roll. You got to know how to dribble.
I was watching Crew League and I seen Roddy Rebel. And I'm like, of course he would know how to dribble. Yeah, of course.
You got
of
to.
Course, out of that's, all things.
That's what we taught. That's what, you know what I'm saying? You want to catch that body, catch that ankle.
So who's your favorite player of all time?
Oh, wow. All time? Shit. I say Mike Jordan, man. I remember.
Brooklyn Zone.
Brooklyn's on Michael Jordan. I remember being a child and just watching him and being mesmerized by him. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not lost on me. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. Of course, there are amazing players that came after him, but Mike is still Mike.
Yeah, for sure. And then Jason made you choose over Knicks or Nets. I know you're a Nets fan and you've been to the game. And you helped design some stuff for them. What'd you contribute to, man?
Yeah, I actually designed, I think it was their first year, either their first or second year, I designed the Beats headphone with them for them. Beats and Brooklyn Nets headphone. Karen Civil kind of put me in the mix with that. Like, hey, man, we're doing something with all the cool Brooklyn people. So we want you to design the headphone. So I designed the headphone. I still got mine.
See, yeah, I know that made moms proud. That was a moment, you know.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. I love
doing Hove things, man. Hove, what's your relationship with video games?
Oh man, I mean, just like any other else kid in the hood, like, you know, I unfortunately became one of the people that are super busy now and don't have time for them. Mm-hmm. But growing up, like, video games was everything. Like, your friends come over, you play Super Nintendo and Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, and it wasn't a 2K. You playing live and shit like that.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yeah, man, so what was the last game you stopped playing?
You know, I bought a PlayStation 5, right? I got a PlayStation 5 last year. So I tried the 2K shit. It's different, man. Mm-hmm. It's too many buttons, combinations. So that was the last video game I played. I tried it last year, like last during the Christmas season when it came out. But
you know what blows me is that they don't even make games anymore, like an actual physical game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you download it to the joint.
Everything is downloaded, and it's like you can only fit like 5 games on the system. Like, that shit is crazy.
Everything is different, man. It's just so crazy, man.
And it's like, I remember when the PlayStation came out and that shit was mind-blowing, because you remember niggas used to be blowing on the cartridges and all that shit.
It was like CD.
PlayStation came out, niggas had the game on the CD. That shit was like really mind-blowing, bro. And then like niggas just had the PlayStation for, I watched this documentary the other day called Console Wars. They said the PlayStation was the biggest selling game system of all time.
I remember it was pandemonium when that shit came out. People were going crazy for the PlayStation. Was it PlayStation 5? Like how it was, but it wasn't as crazy as when PlayStation came out. Like PlayStation was everywhere, everything. I remember people was online lining up outside. Like people fighting over it. It just wasn't as big social media presence back then, so you didn't really see right. it. But PlayStation was everything. That shit changed the game.
Yeah, that shit changed the game.
Yo, man. I'm Jason bringing that up. I think about
what's the name all- was too. Hold on, not to cut you off. What's that shit called? It had GoldenEye N64.
N64
was one of those one. I think people forget that they had that one GoldenEye. It was that shit was crazy. I remember people used to cut school, go to the crib, play GoldenEye.
Yeah, no, that was elite gaming. Jason, you brought it to my mind when I think about all the MacGyver tricks that niggas would do to make a game work.
Everything's a blown.
So with the Nintendo cartridge, I remember taking a Q-tip, alcohol, and doing this, just going left and right, and just then blowing in it, and then putting it in there, and then you'll see it like kind of glitch up and work, and it'll work, and then sometimes you put it under your shirt and you blow into it, and you think,
oh, I ain't never do that one. I ain't never do that one.
Yeah, I did that. I remember, bro, I even put the cartridge in the freezer.
Yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who told me to do that, but I did it because we didn't have no YouTube. Bro, we would have so many TikTok followers and so many followers on how to make your game work. And then you move on past the cartridge era and we get to the disc.
Yeah.
And PS2 had the disc read error.
You know what I mean? You used to have to go get the joint that you put on it, the spin it, it clean the joint. That was because
you get one scratch, you're in a game and you're playing some role playing game, and then it just kind of glitch out or skip or something, and it's just like bring back
memories. I remember that happened to me. I wanted to throw my whole PlayStation out.
Yeah, it was Tomb Raider.
Niggas couldn't save. Remember, niggas couldn't save nothing on the game.
Oh my god, bro. that's what I'm saying. That whole 8-bit, 16-bit generation, 32-bit. Before memory cards, bro, you have to leave that shit on all night. Your mom checked the light bill, the electricity bill. You might get your ass beat because you done turned TV off. Like,
boy, you better turn that video game off when you go to bed.
See, my grandma didn't know about the red light. I just act like I turned him off. Turn the light off, get up in the morning, be right after it. But the game be running so hot because it done been on and it's sitting on the carpet. You know the hood carpet. It was the hood carpet too, the one that just kind of like that just absorb all the heat. It was a different type of time, man. And then you get the Dreamcast and they start bootlegging games.
Dreamcast was amazing.
That was cool.
That's when people first had 2K.
Yeah,
Dreamcast.
2K hit the scene, man.
They shook it up. They had the $20 games. I remember $20 2K, $20 NFL, and Madden said, "Nah, y'all not going. We had to get y'all out of here."
And then now here we are with the before I even jump to that Xbox Ring of Death.
See, I never really had an Xbox. I had
the Xbox Ring of Death on my 360.
My next door neighbor had Xbox, and he showed me. He was like, I got to send it back, or I got to get a new one. I never really got into Xbox.
It was some shit like, I guess it'd get too hot or something. I don't know. It was always some bullshit, dog. I was just cool on it. But, and then now we're in the race wars of Xbox and PS5. I'm a PS5 guy myself. I was fortunate to get it on launch day.
As busy as you are. How do you have time? I haven't played.
I ain't gonna be honest.
You get a chance to play, bro, Jay?
Nah, I got my Xbox One that I had since like 2016 or something. I don't even play it, bro. I think the last game I bought was probably like 2K18 or 2K19.
I envy people who are grown adults and still got time to play video games. I'd be like, how do you do it? When do you do this?
Yeah, niggas don't have time. Like,
but here's the thing. I'm not trying to put this juju out in the world. If Delta, I will be in all video game leagues.
Yeah, bro, we was locked in. I still had stuff to do. I was traveling a little bit. I'm on 8 Zoom.
See, yeah, no, I'm parked.
That's what I'm saying, Trey. You had a system the whole time. Like, I was on the same tip. Like, we was in the crib. Everybody was in the crib. And like, I turned it on once. I tried to play it. And it's like, after an hour, I feel like, what am I doing? Like,
I got shit to do. Like, yo, let me go look at this PowerPoint.
I mean, I personally should be turning it into money. I'm a Twitch partner.
Oh, you see? Yeah, you see?
Oh, yeah, different. Trey's in the game. Yeah. Do you know that, hoe? You know that Trey's in 2K?
What you mean?
I'm in 2K.
Trey is on the game.
Like, I'm inside the game, yeah.
Like, as a player?
I'm a media.
What?
Yeah,
I mean, I know that, years,
bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah. If you make a my player and go through the season, he's like one of the media people that like comments on your whole life. Like,
oh, nah, I didn't know that about my man. Oh, man, yeah. You better play that game, man. You get run.
I mean, I be playing it sometimes, man, but it'd be cool when people, you know, tweet me and say, like, oh, man, I seen your tweet. That was cool. And I'm like, you know, like growing up playing 2K on Dreamcast and PlayStation, man, and all that stuff, like, it's definitely one.
Getting all type of money, man. I love it.
Here you go, man.
This nigga in the game.
Hey, man, I ain't get nothing.
The boy got his own money.
Yo, you sick, man. All right. Yo, so you're a dad, bro. Yeah, what is fatherhood like?
It's dope. It's dope. Girl dad, two daughters, 10 and 8. It's interesting, like, you know. These are two young minds that you get to mold and, like, you know, get to make sure, or not make sure, you try to make sure that they don't make the same mistakes you made. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a second chance at life, almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, because of the things that I grew up in, the things that I had to survive, you make sure that they don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, for sure, man. I can understand. I know you see yourself in them, and
yeah.
And definitely, like, you know, just seeing them also show their own personalities. And I know you're super proud. And
it's amazing. It's amazing. It's like, you know, I look at my 10-year-old. I know me at 10-year-old, at 10, I was in the projects. Like, she has a big ass house. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she has a father who's super heavily involved and, you know, take her places. And, like, you know, you just want to give them everything that you didn't have, kind of just give them a better head start, because a lot of times, especially as minorities, we're born, we don't really get to access our creativity because we're so busy trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We come from a place of survival and just making it. So if you're able to provide for your child and give them a safe space where they can be the best them they can be, there's no telling what they can be.
Yeah, no, that's the truth, man. And I commend you, because it's a lot of people out here ain't taking care of their kids. They just out here, you know, doing their own thing. Just, you know, they texting the baby mama that the kid got bad vibes.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I think if you don't do right by your kids, man, that's definitely super bad karma, and it'll come back to you, and it'll catch up to you later on in life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Nigga, don't be putting no kids out here in the world and not taking care of them. And if you ain't ready for kids, don't have kids. If you can, I don't say control the situation, but, you know.
Yeah, just be cautious, man.
Just be cautious of what is.
You need a license to drive a car. You don't need a license to be a parent. So there's a lot of people who are parents who aren't fit, who aren't prepared. But, you know, it's never the right time. Like, I'm sure my parents wasn't ready when they had me. So it's like, you know, you make the best of it, because parents ain't nothing but people. Mm-hmm. They're human beings. We hold them to like a super higher standard. But, like, you know, they make mistakes too. So, you know, you just got to do the best you can do.
Nah, that's real as hell. So, Hov, you're a manager in music. How did you get into management?
I think it kind of fell into my lap. I had a homeboy that was rapping, and it was kind of like he needed a manager at the time. So then it started like, you the manager. So it was kind of like a paid internship. It was like, I learned as we went. I just jumped into it. Like, it wasn't this is what I aspire to do, I'm trying to do. It was just one of those things where it was like necessity. You got to do this. So mm-hmm. then I did it, and then I would guess I figured it out. And then from there, I just took it in, you know, turned it into what it is now.
So being a manager now in different spaces mm-hmm. and succeeding at it, what would you say to others that are trying to get in this space, but then also being a Black man in this space?
Those are two totally different questions and totally different things to navigate. The first part, being a manager in this space, try to get as much firsthand knowledge as possible. Like if you need to go intern somewhere or go work at a label, or you know what I'm saying? It's the information age. There's no such thing as you don't know or I'm not sure in this day and age. You can really follow people and get ebooks and actually contact and tweet some people who are managers and get, you know what I'm saying? Get access to them. So just try to get as much information on what this type of job is before you jump into it and come up with a plan. Like, yo, I want to be, what's the right word to say? Come up with a real detailed plan of your plan to be a manager. Cause some people will be like, yo, I need help. Like, what you need? I don't know. So there's no way I can help you. So what I'm saying is, if you want to be a manager, come up with a real detailed plan of, yo, I want to be a talent manager. I want to be this type of manager. I want to work with, you know what I'm saying? Like, just have a real structured idea of what it is you want to do when an opportunity presents itself.
That's sound advice right there. And for another thing about the management part is, what's like the right fit? Because I'm sure tons of people always are like, hey, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and you should work with me because I'm doing this. And how do you choose the artist to work with? And more so, what's a typical right fit?
For me personally, I like people that work hard, people that are self-sufficient. Like, I don't, at this point, I don't want somebody who needs me to hold their hand through things. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I need somebody who have a vision for themselves. If I ask you, all right, what have you done to this point and what's stopping you from getting to where you want to get to? And they'd be like, I don't know. That's a kind of like a red flag for me. You got to have a vision for yourself and I help you achieve that vision. If I'm giving you the vision for yourself, that's a bigger problem. You know what I'm saying? You got to have the right people around you too. That's very, very, very detrimental to your success. If you have a manager who's telling you the right thing to do, you have a crew of 3 to 4 other people who are telling you the wrong thing to do, you tend to usually lean towards the crew of people because the manager is not with you all day, especially if the manager has other clients. So I could come up to you and give you a plan, but if you got homies that's going to be like, nah, man, we ain't going to the studio tonight. Let's go hang out. You know what I'm saying? That's really key too.
Yeah. Nah, I think, not to cut you off, Chuck. No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, like, do you think it's better to manage an artist's, like, life and career or just their career? Like,
just their career.
Some people need both.
Just their career. Like,
just a career.
I try, there's certain artists that I manage. We have a personal relationship. We're friends. But trying to manage an artist's career and his life, it gets a little sticky because it's like,
yeah.
We're in business together. I'm not your father. So it's like,
right.
I'll try to put people around you and make sure I empower you, make sure you have a business manager, somebody gonna stay on top of your taxes, somebody gonna make sure you paying this car note and this bills. But I can't be like calling you, yo, you gotta get up out of bed, you gotta go with your daughter tomorrow. Like,
right.
I got my own shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's where the lines get crossed. And it becomes, you start to think like we're in a friendship more than we're in a business relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it gets murky. And then, you know, sometimes you don't listen to your friend. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If we're in a business capacity and I'm advising you, I need you to listen or be able to say, oh, nah, he knows what's best for me. Nah, bro is tripping. Like, we're not bros, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I ain't your homie.
Is there anybody that you looked up to in the management or just in this like aspect of the business when you were coming up?
Chris Lighty.
Yeah.
Chris Lighty. I got to meet Chris Lighty a couple times, like maybe 10 times. He gave me a lot of game and a lot of understanding. He would do a lot of things that was not for his financial benefit. And I was like, always marveled at that. Like he's a guy who makes a lot of money, a lot of high price clients, but he would still help somebody because, you know, that's what's the right thing to do. And that's what's good for hip hop. I was like, damn, that's crazy.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So now, Professor Hove, you're teaching now. What's that like? First of all, tell them where you're teaching.
I'm teaching at Kingsborough Community College, teaching a class on music, like all the things that music encompass, from music composition, the other type of jobs there is to have in music. Like you don't have to be a rapper or producer. You could be a lawyer, you could be an engineer, you could be a publisher, and there's other ways. So I'm just teaching them the whole, through the 8-course program, I'm teaching them music business and music, the all-encompassing thing of the business of music.
That's dope, man, like for real, especially, you know, just helping a friend out and starting in the management to now teaching a course about the yeah. industry. I mean, you're more than a consultant, man. Like you're in the point of like the mastery part when you're able to grace a stage and tell people about the business, the ins and outs, and be blessed to make money off of that. And not even make money off of it, it's just more so inspiring the next up and coming in that. And then you look 20 years down the line and they say, oh, Mr. Hilton or Hovain. Yeah. You know, I was in your class, and you like, what?
That's crazy, man.
You know, yeah. Like when you think about it in that situation of like, these are life hacks that people that you didn't have, that myself didn't have, that Jason didn't have, that you're allowed to provide for others and help them. You know what I mean? So,
that's crazy. Like 100% what you're saying is, I'll be out and about sometimes. Like we just had a concert in New York. Lloyd Banks had a concert. So it was a bunch of people in the crowd, a bunch of people came through, and people were like, yo, man, I've been following you on Instagram for 5-6 years, man. You're my role model or whatever. I'm like, what? You need a better role model, but it's still flattering. And you never know who's watching, and you never know what you're doing is inspiring people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you're at the point, and you know, I haven't told Jason, but Jason's basically a fucking vessel, whether he looks at it or not. You know what I mean? You stretch your leg out one way, you stretch your leg out the other way, people gonna do their shit the same way. You might not look at it. We've been doing this podcast for a year, but you are officially a podcaster, my man. You know what I'm saying? No matter how nobody tell you whatever it is, you done did so much in this space to somebody can say, yo, I'm trying to start a podcast. You can consult at this point. You know what I mean?
And I was going to say, too, to what Hovain is doing, you know, just to show how much what you're doing can impact somebody. So when I was in college, I had a guy who was a music manager, John Hartman. You could look him up. He used to be, he managed the Eagles. He managed Elvis, America, this other band from the 70s, like a bunch of people, this old white dude. And he had a music business class that I took at LMU. And, you know, I was just trying to get into the industry. You know, me and Dom, my cousin, you know, we were doing our thing, trying to figure out what we needed to do to make it. And he had like all of these rules of the industry. Like, you know, he had like a list of like 100 rules, like one monkey don't stop, no show, get the money, like different little things. You know what I'm saying? These different little funny little one-liners, you know. But yeah, we met up with him like after class one day, like, because I wanted him to meet Dom. And I was like, yo, you know, I want to play you his music. I want you to, you know, like be able to pick his brain, all of this stuff. And he came to our first show at LMU. You know, we had a bunch of people packed in or whatever. And he was like, yeah, like he looks like a star, you know.
That's
and
fine.
Like that little thing and him being invested in me and us being able to have a conversation with somebody who had a history in the music industry gave us just, you know, a little bit more.
A little bit of confidence and that little reassurance.
Exactly. So, you know, like you never know, like the person you may be touching right now, the conversation you may have with somebody might spark the next generation of whatever, you know, is going on in the world.
Yeah, that's dope, man. And that's really why I do that. Like when somebody asks me to speak on a panel or they reached out to me to teach a class, I'm like, man, a lot of times people want to die with the information for whatever reason. I remember coming up, people wouldn't give you no pointers like that, or they wouldn't give you the game to act like this shit is a secret. So I want to try to give people as much insight as I can.
Share the codes.
Yeah.
That's it. Share the codes. And when you share the codes, even when you not hot, somebody gonna come back and be like, yo,
I remember when you,
I got a play for you.
Yeah.
Cause you was my OG or yeah. you was there for me. And I got the light on me now. And I'm ready to share to bring you back up.
Nobody stays hot forever, bro. Nobody.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Except Drake. He got the cheat code right now. He cheating.
It's a lot more living to do, bro. It's
gonna absolutely be a long life. No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Look at your boy, Junior Watanabe. He's been off for 16 years, and that the end of that road is looking nearer and nearer by the day.
I hate that. That's my boy now. we got a question that we asked our guests to wrap things up. What is your advice for your 18-year-old self?
Stay the course. Believe in yourself. You don't need all them niggas. Believe in God. Keep working hard.
Always believe in God or high power if you don't believe in God. Somebody, believe in something, even yourself.
Yeah.
Has been a great episode. You shared some gems. We even shared some laughs. Brownsville all day. Check in Hovain's class this fall.
Yeah, this fall.
This fall. Download J Skills mixtape.
Nah, go watch my films. LA
go
is my
watch
playground.
LA is my playground. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. And so is I'm Not a Kid Anymore. I actually shot that one in New York.
Hey, no, I'm gonna tap into both of them.
So y'all hear it. Run them up. Leave it on autoplay. Show some love, and we out.
Growing up the same wins the game.